I just want to thank God and you that I can be here. And I really, when I see your smiles and your warm welcome, that and so many familiar faces, it makes me feel at home in my home church. I realize the blessing to be part of the body of Christ. Even though we are so different, different countries, different backgrounds, we are one in Christ, having one Father and one love and one faith. So thank you and be blessed.
Amen. Yeah, my better half. This was, yeah. Praise the Lord that we are together. As I mentioned to the previous service, I want to apologize to all church that we didn't did good job with updating news with our ministry, what we are doing. But here we are to catch up and to do what we didn't did last 4 years. And also, my last visit was here about 6 years ago. And I see all of you, you are the same. Only me, I'm changed. Some pastors are saying, oh, you have a gray hair here. Yeah, that's true. But it also is true that at the head of the righteous, it's a glory. So it's, yeah, at least this is something to comfort myself. Yeah. Great to be here after 6 years. Thanks to the pastors that allow us to share what God is doing, but also to preach. And this is unique. And as they did this in Bulgaria, now I see that I'm welcome also. God bless you. So your turn is next. So you should come. Yeah. And also we mentioned that, may we see the picture of my family? The city that is behind us is Napoli, or Neapel, where Apostle Paul was one of the cities right before Philippi. And there is Thessalonica. All these cities are very close to Bulgaria. And maybe next trip will steal you and drive you in Greece. But don't tell this to Steve, because he's maybe he's not approving that. But it's okay. I will lead the team, so no problem. Our family, Sarah is 19 years old, Simona is 16, Milena, and me. Yeah. And we are glad to serve the Lord for so many years. 22 years I was with my wife with Campus Crusade. I was the director of Jesus Film for many years, and church planting ministry. Then we switched four and a half years ago to church, to be a pastor of the church. And God used us to start many new things and also revive the church also, and the community and the city also of Sofia and Bulgaria also. I didn't mention previous time, but many times we was on TVs. They invite me to talk shows. That was really something new for Bulgaria, pastors speaking in front of all these people. And I'm honored to God to trust me, to put me right there in front of all these cameras and all Bulgaria to watch me. And it is thrill to see somebody in the streets and they say, oh, I saw you on the TV. I say, good, did you hear what I say? Not to just remember this ugly face, but to hear what I'm talking about. So we are fighting with many issues in Bulgaria, and I discovered that you have the same issues with transgender things and with taking the kids from the parents and trying to make kids as a government possession or something like that. And everything is coming from Europe. Actually, we know from where it's coming. This is coming from the enemy. But backsliding Europe allow all this to go through the laws of Europe, and Bulgaria, because it's part of European Union, is trying to catch up with all this stuff. But we are against that, and we are standing up, and we are staying on the at the streets, at the parliament, in front of the parliament, and we are staying and shouting the truths of Jesus and the things that we are staying for. And we are trying to follow the example of our brother that he says, here I stand. Yeah, and we are doing the same in Bulgaria. We'll stay at the truths and the foundations of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible. Our ministry, we are doing five things. This is our church, actually. Many of you was there. This is this perspective. The other perspective is from the other way. Because the place is very narrow, we have two balconies. And the people that was sleeping at the fifth floor, they feel it because they have a lot of stairs to climb. But we are doing not only in the church ministry, we are doing evangelism, church planting, also maturing people, discipling people through Bible school. This is the only form that we can do closest to Jesus style, to disciple people every day, to be with them at least 4 days per week, and also full night prayer. And maybe your pastors will push you in this direction, and maybe you will have night prayer. And if you like it, maybe they'll continue with that. Every first Friday, we have a night prayer from 10 o'clock in the night until 5 o'clock in the morning. And we are doing this for 4 years. And praise the Lord, He's blessing the guys that are coming, and they are never the same. These are the full with fire people, and they are revived also. Well, to stay with the Lord 7 hours is good thing. It's good thing you're catching from Him. And these are our five main areas of ministry: evangelism, discipleship, pastoring, church planting, and multiplication. We are multiplying ourselves in the lives of others, in investing in the eternal human lives and souls. Connected with that, I want to read one verse that is describing the reason why Jesus came on earth. There are so many verses describing that, but there is one unique verse that is saying, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So short, but so strong. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He incarnated, He became the Word of God, come flesh, so to save, to search, to look for, and save the lost. What is the lost? I study this word in Greek, and the Greek word is apollolos or apollulum, apollumi. This means, with very strong meaning, this means killed, dead, destroyed, lost, perished. So we was killed, dead, destroyed, lost, and perished. This is what the sin is doing with us. But through Christ Jesus, we are found. We are saved. And God is returning us to Him. And we have eternal life. And we are not dead anymore, but we are alive. And we are not lost anymore, but we are found. Praise the Lord. So we have this in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Jesus is giving very interesting parables. Three parables in one chapter. And this is unique because I can't, I don't know another chapter to have such a parables and speaking for the same subject. Jesus is delivering three parables in one chapter, and He is speaking about lost sheep, from 100 sheep, one was lost, lost coin from 10 coins, one was lost, and lost son from 2 sons of the father, one was lost. He was dead, and he was found, and he was saved. He was alive. But the word lost, this means separated from God. If we are with God, doesn't matter where you are, you are okay if you are with God. Even if you are lost in this world, you are not lost with God and you are safe. But if you are, if you know where you are perfectly in this world, but you are not with the Lord, you're lost. And the Greek word is killed, dead, destroyed, lost, and perished. This is what the sin is doing with humankind. After every parable, our Lord Jesus is giving conclusion. He's sharing what is happening with when one man is repenting and is coming back to the Lord. And here is verse 7. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over the sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. So we can see from this verse, somebody is rejoicing. Who is that? All heaven. All heaven only for one soul? All heaven is rejoicing. Heaven is a huge multitude. And we can see only for one soul when it's repenting and coming back to the Lord, all heaven is rejoicing. Verse 10, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And this verse is immediately after the 10 coins, one was lost, and when the coin was found, all angels was rejoicing. Do you know any other verse that is mentioning that all angels are rejoicing for any other reason? I don't know another verse, neither for the heaven. Let's see about God. How about the God Father? 32, verse 32. But we had to celebrate and rejoice. This is the Father saying to the oldest son about the younger son that was right back after a backsliding. And he says, but we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and he has been found. Praise the Lord. We can see for one soul, when he came back to the Lord, whole heaven is rejoicing, whole angels are rejoicing, and God Father is rejoicing. I don't know any other reason. Whole everything that is eternal to rejoice for something that is eternal as well. Our souls are eternal. And being with God, this makes us believing in God, following Him, obeying His commandments, is making us to be in eternity with Him. Only one thing is eternal in this earth. Only one thing have an eternal price. And these are the souls of people. The real people. Not the body. The body perish also. But soul, the inside man, when he's born again, it's going to Jesus, to be with Jesus for eternity. And this is why Jesus came. As the verse is saying, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is why Jesus came. Only eternal things have meaning in heaven, angels and God. Only eternal things or eternal souls will go to heaven with angels before the Lord. Only for the eternal souls, Jesus came to die. So to save them or to save us, so they or we to be in heaven with the angels and with the Lord Himself. Amen. We believers also should have eternal perspective. 2 Corinthians 4:18 is saying, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we are going to the eternity, our God, to be with Him and angels and whole heaven. I want to mention some fascinating stories that happened in one boat. This is maybe the most known boat in the world. Actually, the boats have a very short life. There was only 3 weeks ago when on 14 April 1912, one ship faced one iceberg. And the iceberg is something that is very weak. Actually, it's a frozen water. Water can't harm really the boat because the boat is prepared for the water. But the ice, when the water becomes hard, destroyed the most secure and more strong and more advanced boat in the world at that time. This was the biggest ship at its time, 66,000 tons water displacement. Can you imagine 66,000? Maybe if we turn upside down, the church will be smaller than that boat. Huge boat with huge water displacement, 66,000 tons. The fastest ship at that time, 27 miles per hour. The most luxurious ship. The things was golden or covered by gold. Everything was not just glass, but crystal polylase, and I don't know the words, but everything was so advanced and brand new and so expensive. Even the millionaires and billionaires that was there was fascinated from the quality of the ship and how much investment was in this ship. Most luxurious furniture, inside interior design, everything was the peak of the time. The most technical advanced ship, modern and last technologies was inside of the ship. Also, they claim that this is most safe ship in the world. The ship had advanced safety features such as watertight compartments and remotely activated watertight doors. If only cared enough, and that's why they care only boats for 1,178 people to be saved, lifeboats, because they was thinking that this ship is unsinkable. How close is this to the earth? People of this world are thinking that they will live forever in this earth. They're gaining so much money and gaining so much glory and doing some stuff. They're thinking that they will live forever. But I don't know anyone that lives forever in this earth. Everyone perish. Luxurious, this ship was sheep of the vanity, sheep of the dreams. On one hand, everyone was dreaming to go to this ship. Even the smallest, the cheapest tickets was extremely expensive for the third class, but for first class, it was a treasure. It was a big investment. And many people bought these tickets because first, they want to be safe. Second, they want to be in this luxurious and huge and first at its time ship to go to America, to United States, the dreamland, the land that you are going to the land and they're giving you free land. You need just to go and put a sticker flag and say, this land is mine and this land is given to you. Land where is honey and milk, nothing like this in Europe where each square meters is a fortune, you know, small Europe. And all these guys sell everything and bought jewelries or gold or very expensive paintings like investment, and they move with this ship toward United States. What we can see in the ship of dreams, this ship was also with 2,224 people on the board together, counting the crew and the people that were serving there. It was with full with dreams for better life. The poor people was going to be rich, and the rich people are going to be richer. One-way ticket. These people didn't buy two tickets for going back to Europe. They want to go there, to the United States, here actually, and live good life. The main engineer of the ship says, God himself couldn't sink this ship. It's so safe, so strong, so the technology, even the iron plates was so thick and undestroyable, and nobody will think that something that is in the water can break through all these plates that was ship covered, and even to destroy one cell or two cell or even four cells, if they are full with water, the ship will continue sinking. But there was fifth cell that was hit and was full with water, and the ship started to sink. 11 o'clock and 14 minutes p.m. on 14 April 1912, in Sunday, the unsinkable ship is hitting iceberg and sink after 2 hours and 40 minutes in 2 o'clock and 20 minutes a.m. in the morning of Monday, 15 April. More than 1,500 people died and 702 were saved with the boats and only six out of the water. All saved was through the boats, but only six was taken out from the water. Some of the boats came back and took and find only six survivors. And we'll hear one testimony of one of them. More than 1,500 people died, and they sink in the cold, black, dark waters. Can you imagine? No light, frozen to death. All these people were screaming for their lives. Two fascinating stories from the ship. First one is the Titanic's band that's played on. There was a great band, maybe one of the greatest musicians at that time, because the owners of the ship, they want the best musicians. So this band was from eight people, young people, 24, 20, 30, about 30, 20 years old, very young, vibrant people. And the leader of the band was a believer. He was a violinist, and he was believing in Jesus Christ. And he was something unique with him. When the ship starts to sink, when they hit the iceberg, and ship was starting to fill with cold water, and everything was in disaster and chaos. Everyone was running for their lives, screaming, shouting, even ready to fight or even kill to go in the boat, so to be saved. These musicians take decision. They have their own salvation, and that they are saved with Jesus, and they have not to worry about. And they say, let's sing songs of worship. And these songs of worship was old hymns. One of these hymns is Nearer My God to Thee. Nearer to My God to Thee. And God willing, we'll sing this song in the end. They start singing to calm down all the people and to also to preach the gospel through these songs. Actually, they want to, through the songs, to comfort them. And many people came and stayed with them and sing these songs. Of course, some of them was Christians, but some of them was unbelievers looking for the words, trying to catch up with them. Amazing time. These eight people didn't move, but they go to the deck where it was the fight, where it was the chaos, and they start singing the most beautiful praise and worship music at that time. Calm and full with the Holy Spirit. One guy, Lawrence Beasley, Titanic survivor, is sharing, many brave things were done that night, but none more brave than by those few men playing minute after minute as this ship settled quietly lower in and lower in the sea. These guys didn't move. They stay still, and they praise the Lord, and many become believers through them. But I will say there is another man that was even maybe braver than them, if we can say that, and this is pastor and evangelist John Harper. Do you ever hear about this pastor, John Harper? Any of you? Of course, if you was in a previous service, you're hearing this for a second time. But John Harper, I never hear about him. 3 months or 2 months ago, I discovered this man. But surely his name is well known in the heaven. Because when one person is saved, maybe the first question is, who bring this person to knowledge of God? Who was used this man or this woman to be saved? And voila, there is the name. John Harper was mentioned so many times that same night, that same cold, dark night, he was mentioned many times. Why? Pastor and evangelist John Harper, with his 6-year-old daughter, boarded the Titanic. Invited to preach at one of the largest and greatest churches in America, Moody Church in Chicago, named for its famous founder, Dwight Moody. The church was anxious awaiting his arrival, not only because of the pending services, but to meet their next pastor, as Harper planned to accept their invitation. Harper was known as an engaging preacher and had pastored 2 churches in Glasgow and London. Right before the tragedy, when all people was in restaurants drinking and dancing, Pastor Harper put his daughter to bed and read the Bible and prayed. When the Titanic hit the iceberg, Harper successfully led his daughter to a lifeboat. He actually take a blanket, put his daughter and take the daughter and run to the lifeboat. Being a widower, he have right to join her instead for it's his own risk rescue, choosing to provide the masses with one more chance to know Christ. Actually, he says, let's take my daughter, I will stay to preach to the unsaved people. Choosing to provide the masses with one more chance to know Jesus, Harper ran person to person, passionately telling others about Christ. As the water began to submerge the unsinkable ship, Harper was heard to saying strong, woman, children, and unsaved to the lifeboats. Harper knew that believers was ready to die, but the unsaved were not ready. Rebuffed from certain men at the offer of salvation, Harper gave him his own life vest, saying, you need this more than I do. Up until the last moment of the ship, Harper pleaded with people to give their lives to Jesus. Gathering people around him on the deck, he then kneeled down and with holy joy on his face, raised his arm in prayer. As the ship began to lurch, he jumped into the icy water and swam frantically to all the he could reach. He actually have some parts of the boat, of the ship, and going to from person to person to share the gospel with them. John Harper sunk beneath the waters and passed into the Lord's presence, he was 39 years old. 4 years later, a young Scottishman by the name Aquila Webb stood up in the meeting in Hamilton, Canada, meeting that was connected with the Titanic with survivors, and gave his following testimony. I'm a survivor of the Titanic. When I was drifting alone on a spear that awful night, the tide brought Mr. John Harper of Glasgow also on a piece of wreck near me. Man, he said, are you saved? No, I said, I'm not. He replied, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The waves bore him away, but strange to say, brought him back to a little by a little later. And he said, are you saved now? No, I said, I cannot honestly say that I am. He said again, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And shortly after, he went down and there alone in the night and with 2 miles of water under me, I become believer in Jesus Christ. I am Jones Harper, last convert. One more person in the church of John Harper. 107 years after the Titanic, maybe we'll be zealous as Harper and to use every opportunity to share Christ with the perishing. We are in the sinking world. This world is going to sink. Let's save as many as possible souls and bring joy to the heaven, the angels, and our God. Amen.